thinking about something all week long, and it's been helpful to me. How do you see yourself in this world? Do you see yourself as a fish out of water? Do you see yourself as an exile in this world? Or do you see yourself as a pilgrim, as an adventurer, as someone who's going on this amazing journey, and that you're witnessing God's creation, experiencing God's creation, and going into the world, noticing what God is doing, and being part of this great adventure to go? I don't know why we weren't born in the first century. I don't know why we weren't born 5,000 years ago. I don't know why we're alive today, except it's pretty exciting that God has called us, chose us before the creation of the world, Ephesians says, and to be reconciled, as the scripture said, to God through Christ Jesus, and now we go into the world. But there is a difference, because there are people sometimes who have a belief in God, but they feel so totally out of sorts in this world, that the world in their eyes is so corrupt that they can't find a place, that they just don't fit. And yet, it's always been that way. That God has called us to go into the world. I was thinking about this, and I just want to share a couple of passages of Scripture. And you may remember the great story in the Old Testament when Moses says to 12 people, we call them 12 spies, go into the land of Canaan and report back to me what you see. Because if it's a good land, we're going to go into that land, Canaan, and it will be our land. So how exciting that was. And 12 spies go in and they see the land. And it's an amazing land. And 10 out of the 12 spies come back and say, don't even think about going there. Yes, there's lots of good food there, but they're giants that live in that land. They're going to clobber us. Well, you don't find that word, but anyway, that's basically the thought. We're going to be annihilated if we go there. No way should we ever think about it. And we were terrified while we were there. No way. And yet two came back, Joshua and Caleb, and said, amazing. This is fantastic. We wouldn't be exiles in that land. We'd be pilgrims in this land. It's a fantastic land. There are giants in the land. How cool is that? And it's amazing, the fruit, the food. This will be so awesome. Let's go. Well, maybe those are opposite opinions, but with the faith that Moses had and the direction of God, they went into that land. And they adventured for many centuries on. And all throughout the Bible, we look at the story of going into the world, and how do people view it? Some people were terrified. Some people said, this is so cool. And some people had to change their mind. Let me share with you a story. In Luke chapter 10, and in my mind, Luke is all about inclusiveness. When you look at the story of Luke that Luke tells, it's all about Jesus going into the world that he spoke into existence and reaching out to people who no one had ever reached out to before. Have you ever had that experience? Feeling like nobody really, truly cares to know me? And Jesus is saying to his followers this, Luke chapter 10, amazing. After this, the Lord appointed 72, meaning Jesus appointed 70 or 72 others, and sent them two by two ahead of him into every town and place where he was about to go. And here's what Jesus told them. The harvest is plentiful. This is good. But the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Sounds like they're going to be exiles, but watch what happens. Don't take purse or wallet. Don't take a bag. Don't take sandals. Don't greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If the head of the house loves peace, your peace will rest on that house. If not, it will come back to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you. For workers deserve their wages. Do not move around from house to house. Now, that may sound like a rather boring passage of scripture. But if you go back and look at the culture, Jesus is asking Israelites, followers of God, to go into this land and eat whatever is put before them. And I know they're thinking, well, what if they give us unclean food? I don't mean unwashed food. What if they give us pork? Not supposed to eat that. What if they give us shelled fish? Not supposed to eat that. What if they put before us everything that we've been told since we could understand language not to eat? They put that in front of us. What are we supposed to do? Jesus says, eat it. He's changing the game. He's saying, you're no longer an exile. You've been in slavery for too long, 400 or 500 years in Egypt, then Assyria, then Babylon, then the Medo-Persians, then somewhat with the Greeks, somewhat with the Romans. Go into this world. You're not an exile. You're a pilgrim. Go and share and be among the people, no longer pulling back, no longer separating. Go. And if there's another passage that really speaks to this, this is such a cool story. It's found in Luke chapter 17. Not a really well-known story, but to me, it's amazing. And if you ever hear Jesus speak somewhat tongue-in-cheek, with a smile, a gleam in his eye, somewhat being sarcastic, obviously being symbolic, but literally saying, watch this. This is Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11 to 18. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now, that may not mean anything to us. Those two nations did not get along. The Samaritans and the Jews both believed in God, but they wrestled with each other. There was many stories in the Bible where Jesus was going to go through the land of Samaria, and his followers didn't like it, and the Samaritans didn't like it. There was this at odds group. So here's the story. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy, do not touch, avoid, keep a distance from them. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. As they went, they were cleansed. Now, that may not mean much. Go send yourself to the priest. If you recall back in Old Testament, when the children of Israel were crossing the land for a while, and if someone was sick, if someone had a skin problem or had any other kind of disease, they were sent outside the camp and not allowed back into the camp until they showed themselves to the priest. And if the priest announced that they were clean, then they could come back into the camp. And what's being said here is this: go show yourselves to the priest, and they aren't even healed yet. And on their way to the priests, they're healed. Lepers? One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. And he was an outsider. He was someone to avoid. He was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Now watch this. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to them, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. You get the point that Jesus is making? This quotation, outsider, this one who might be considered an exile? No way. Jesus said, he's got it right. He's a pilgrim. He's the guy that's always been on the outside, but not in my mind, Jesus said. We see people created in the image of God. All people, even people who don't believe in God. And the ones who say, I don't believe in God, God is saying, but I believe in you. And you don't have to be considered an exile. You can be a pilgrim in this land. So I just jotted a couple of things down. Reading through Luke quickly. Jesus came for the poor, the prisoners, the blind, the oppressed, the social outcasts, the Gentiles, Samaritans, women, tax collectors, lame, lepers, all people who were never part of anything. People who were always kept at a distance, God said, you're as close to me as anyone, and you always have. So my question again is, for those who are graduating and going to home or going to a different place, how are you going to go? Do you go fearful? Do you go as an exile? Do you go feeling like you're a fish out of water? Or do you go with an arm on your back, God's hand, saying, I'm with you every step of the way. This land is your land, and it's all people's land. Go, and I'm going with you. Take it as an adventure. You know, we've often heard the story, part of the vacation is the journey. And it's true that we can sometimes go through life. And there are Christians, maybe it's been taught this way in the years, I don't know, or I can't wait to get to heaven because I sure don't like it here. Well, you may want to sit down and talk to God about that, because he made you at this time to be here. And while you're here, he's encouraging you to be reconciled to God through Christ Jesus, to see this world as an adventure, to be a pilgrim, knowing that God created you to do exactly that. To enjoy this world, but also understanding that there's a battle that goes on in this world. In the book of Ephesians, you may want to turn there for just a moment. Our small group talked about this just recently, and I always found it a very interesting passage of scripture. Why is it that so many things in this world are so bad, even though Christ came into the world, showed us who God was, went to the cross for our sins, rose again, and now we have life in him. And as Paul said, the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and Jesus proved that death is over. And so that Satan is ultimately defeated. So if Satan is going to be ultimately defeated, why, oh why, is there so many terrible things going on in our world today? Ephesians chapter 6 talks about this. So in Ephesians 6, here's what he says, beginning in verse 10. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, we don't use that phrase very often, in the heavenly realms. But if you go back in Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Is he contradicting himself? What's happening in these heavenly realms? Well, it talks about there's still this cosmic battle. And even though Satan knows that he's ultimately defeated, it seems like he is so drunk on his own power, that he's going to fight to the end. And we see it in our world today, and maybe we've always seen this. We notice difficult times taking place, but the reminder for Christians is this, because even though we have our faith in Christ Jesus, we have a home with Christ, Paul, who understands this probably better than many of us, reminds us of something. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful, lest you fall. So But what he's saying is go into the world as a pilgrim, but be on guard. There are people who are going to always want to pull you away from your freedom in Christ Jesus. There are people who are going to want to go in a different direction, but here is Satan still gnawing away. And sometimes he's had unique names. Jesus called him a murderer in John chapter 8. Your father is the devil. He's been a murderer from the very beginning. And you look at the scriptures, and there's so many of these scriptures talking about Satan, how he wants to lead people astray. This is what he's bent on. So things get pretty terrible in this world. Where did the idea that killing people is okay come from? Where'd the idea that hurting people, saying nasty things to people, destroying lies because of lies, that somehow that's okay? Where did the concept of the ideology of dismissing and hurting people is somehow that's okay? Dr. Scott Peck, who's no longer alive, wrote a wonderful book years ago called People of the Lie. And he talks about this. As a psychiatrist, he saw lots of people. And every once in a while, he said, sitting there, listening to certain people and watching certain people, I felt this evil in the room, this overwhelming darkness that was consuming another person. And it was frightening. He said, I don't see that very often. He said, I saw just about everything. But every once in a while, there was someone, and I go, there's something beyond this person that is happening dark and deep within. And the reason I say that is because when we move forward into the world, being a pilgrim in the world, and enjoying the creation that God has given us, and using the abilities that God has given us to be a witness of Jesus Christ in the world, we're still on guard, that we're not going to get caught up in something that's going to pull us away. And God has given us his Holy Spirit. We know when we've pulled ourselves away. One of the first things that's happened is we quit praying. We quit thinking of other Christians. We quit seeing ourselves as a happy pilgrim. But sometimes we see ourselves as a sad wanderer in this world. So let me conclude today by just reminding us of so many stories in the Bible of the future, of the whole world coming together as one. That in the very beginning, God created, and there you know the story of Adam and Eve, and all the way through the Bible, and there's great adventures, and there's so forth and so on. And then Christ comes into the world, showing us who God is, living, showing us the way. He gives his life for us. He's raised again. He said, I'll always be with you. I'm always available to you. And in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And people like Jesus talks about a time when all things will be renewed and redeemed. And so does Peter. And so does Luke. And so does John. So does some of the Old Testament prophets. That even before Jesus came into the world, they saw something. I want to close with this. Every time I read this, I picture it, and it gives me goosebumps because it's just an amazing picture. So Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw. I just want to stop. Have you ever had a dream that was so compelling that for weeks afterward, you remember every detail of that dream? Many of us dream all night long. We wake up in the morning and say, I don't know what that was about. And you forget about it. But have you ever had a dream that has just stayed with you for years? Isaiah saw this, and he never forgot it. He leaves it with us. And here's a picture. Let what Isaiah saw. You see what he saw. Watch this. He says this. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Now, see that any way you want, but I can't think of a more beautiful picture of that one day God uniting all of his world. And that people from all over the world, it gives this picture in Revelation, under the altar I saw people from every name, nation, every tribe, every language, so many that I couldn't count, all being welcomed in God's kingdom. So as you leave this week, whether you're traveling to the far ends of the world, or maybe you're just moving to a city next time, or going off into college or university, some other place, I encourage all of us, you're not an exile. You are a pilgrim. There are dark forces in the world, but Jesus is calling you to his light. Look toward the future of what's there for you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for being with us today. I pray personally, Father, that you'll take my befuddled thoughts and befuddled words and put them into people's hearts and make it clear how much you love them and how you will always be with them and never leave them. And never forsake them. Father, may we go forth as happy pilgrims in your world, being who you want us to be, and bringing joy because of Jesus Christ to those we know. And it's through his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ weekly sermons are available on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you download podcasts. Just search for Beamsville. We meet at 10:30 Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Find us on Facebook by searching Beamsville Church of Christ or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.